That was the monumental second piano concerto of Johannes Brahms. The pianist was Emil Gilels, and the conductor Fritz Reiner conducting the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. That's an historic recording, and just recently put out on CD. Recording engineer was Louis Leighton, and I think he might have done just a little bit of job, but, you know, it's an older recording, and maybe not able to digitalize it as well as something that was done originally for digital tape and CD. This has been your host, David Brown, bringing you 3 hours of classical music. Please stay tuned to Stardate and then Brain Damage. You've been listening to WUSB Stony Brook 90.1 on your FM stereo dial, the first station of the 90s.
Stardate September 17th. A great man once wrote, "Mankind will not remain forever on Earth, but in the pursuit of light and space will first timidly emerge from the bonds of the atmosphere and then advance until he's conquered the whole of the solar system." Those words were penned in 1911 by a man with incredible vision, the Russian Konstantin Tsiolkovsky, whose birthday is today. Tsiolkovsky was born in 1857. He was the founder and prophet of the flourishing Soviet space program. He envisioned people from Earth someday migrating into space, not to visit, but to live as permanent space colonists. Tsiolkovsky did more than just dream, however. The principle of rocket propulsion had been known for hundreds of years, but he was the first to make a scientific analysis of the obstacles to overcome if humankind were to enter the space age. His work laid the foundation for Soviet space technology and for their series of firsts: first satellite to orbit Earth, first man in space, accomplished by the Russians in the late 1950s and early 60s. Today, the Soviet Union continues to move ahead into space. Tsiolkovsky realized that outer space is, in fact, an environment for humans, hostile in some ways, but potentially habitable thanks to our developing technology. In search of light, or energy, and space, our descendants will indeed very likely fulfill this dream. This is Stardate. Our writer and our producer is Deborah Bird. Stardate is a production of the McDonald Observatory. We're at the University of Texas at Austin, zip code 78712. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
Changed. The new number is 2. Please make a note of it.
Please repeat.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Just hold on a second.
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
Is Steve Bessa.
4, 4, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Did you say 9?
Just hold on a second.
Return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
If you do not push a key in 3 seconds, you will be disconnected.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
Yes, good evening. The program is Brain Damage, and we're here until midnight. Midnight today, on this Saturday, the 17th day of September, 1988. I'm Eric Corley with you, and hopefully accepting your phone calls at 632-6901. And we've got a bunch of interesting things to talk about tonight, some rather topical things in the news. Before we get to that, if I can find the real news here, there's some kind of a newscast that came over. Well, first of all, this just out of Haiti, there are reports of gunfire erupting in front of the presidential palace in Haiti, a radio station, and witnesses say the shooting has sent dozens of people fleeing for safety. The radio report says the shooting includes automatic weapons, and it's in an area bordering the palace and near the Caribbean country's army headquarters. No casualties are reported, and it is not known for sure who may have caused the shooting. But it's believed that the shooting probably involves factions of Haiti's army. The army has been loyal to the country's military government, which returned to power last June in a coup. So they may be getting two coups for the price of one over there. Who knows? Let's see what else we can find here. Just I've got a whole lot of Associated Press printout here, and I'll explain why in a second. It was getting kind of desperate. Okay. National headlines here. Authorities around Monterrey, Mexico fear they are not even close to counting all the deaths caused by Hurricane Gilbert. So much better than saying Gilbert. They say about 200 people may have drowned when a rain-swollen river swept away four buses. Several cars were also swamped by the raging river, and more casualties are feared. The hurricane had left 100 others dead across the Caribbean. Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula and Texas has lost most of its punch. It was downgraded today to a tropical depression. A plurality of respondents to a U.S. News and World Report poll predict that Democrat Michael Dukakis will win his debate next weekend with Republican George Bush. Even so, more than half those quizzed by the magazine also predict that Bush will win November's election. Oh boy, they're soaking up the suds in Munich. Thousands of revelers are jamming the West German city to kick off Oktoberfest, the world's biggest and best-known beer bash. And that is the news according to the Associated Press. Reagan? Reagan? Reagan's busy. Okay. We like to call Reagan every now and then and see what he has to say, but he's always busy, you know? He's a president, I guess. That's why that kind of thing happens. Anyway, I heard an extremely, extremely disturbing and upsetting news story this morning, actually. Well, this afternoon, I guess, in most people's lives. And it's been repeated almost every 15 minutes on the news stations of our area involving acts of anti-Semitism in Brooklyn. It seems a synagogue in the Midwood section was first set on fire, and then after the fire was put out, all kinds of swastikas and anti-Semitic jargon was discovered. And it was known as the Orthodox Congregation Rabbinical Institute, located on East 12th Street in the Midwood section of Brooklyn. Now, I came in here tonight in the hopes of reading a news story about this, but apparently the Associated Press does not think it's important enough to even put out a story. Of course, in all fairness, I should say that our teletype was running for half the day without the ribbon on. Someone neglected to look at it to see that it was printing and just was sort of feeding paper through itself without really coming up with anything. But for most of the day, the thing was working, and we really should have gotten a story on this, but not a thing. I'll tell you what we did get. We got the Connecticut State Lotteries plus four drawing, 5516. Isn't that nice? College football scores. Baseball scores. Okay, here's an example of the kind of news stories that are important. A Hamburg man is suing the Greater Buffalo Youth Orchestra for $800,000. He says his daughter has been ordered to sit in the back row of the first violin section because of her race. Dr. Si Ming Sheng is accusing orchestra officials of putting his daughter, 15-year-old Elaine Xi Kwag Sheng, in the back row because she is Asian. Ansgarius Aylward, the orchestra's music director, denied the discrimination charge. He says the only reason Ms. Sheng was placed in the back was that orchestra officials decided to use reverse alphabetical order in making the seating arrangement chart this year. You can see why a synagogue being burned would be in the back seat to that story. How about this? Bad news for apple lovers. A dry growing season coupled with a rainy harvest season could make New York's apple crop an expensive commodity in short supply this fall. And the effects of late spring rain showers just when pollination began in an overly dry summer are coming into focus as the state's major apple variety, the Macintosh, is being harvested in orchards across New York this weekend. Production this year is about 2 million bushels down from last year's 18.8 million bushels, according to industry figures. It's also the smallest apple crop since 1972, and growers are saying prices should reflect that. How about this? You want to hear about this? Erie County's deputy health commissioner had part of his left leg amputated after he was struck by a car driven by a county legislator yesterday. I don't even want to hear this. More college football scores. Final college football summary. Okay, here's New York's lottery. Winning number 658-9225. I'm not even going to tell you what it's for. More college football scores. Sports Watch. Sports Watch. College football. The temperature in Central Park. More college football. More college football. Sports Watch. Sports Minute. Baseball scores. Football scores. Hockey scores? Oh, no, that's a baseball score. More college football. Here's some New York college football scores and stories. And that's it. That is what we have gotten over the last 5 hours. Bunch of crap, if you ask me. Completely ignored the story about a synagogue being burned down, or not quite burned down. They didn't get it this time, but they certainly made it unusable for quite a while. And I assume there'll be something in newspapers tomorrow about this. What I'd like to hear from any listeners is what they think of this, if they've heard any details that perhaps we have not heard here. And before we go to the phones, I do want to make one phone call, not to President Reagan, because calling President Reagan would not be appropriate at this time, but to something almost as disturbing. This is a news line located in California, and I'll just let it speak for itself.
Several months ago, the June News informed us that a group of white men, including a white police officer in New York City, kidnapped and held as a sex slave for 5 days a black teenager named Tawana Brawley. Once again, the nation got an earful of crap from the haters of the white race about the ever-increasing outbreaks of white racist violence. However, the New York Jewish power structure and their black Uncle Tom shortly after dropped his hot potato when he discovered that they had no control over the situation. A situation that could easily explode into a full-scale race war in a city where the Jews would end up being the main victim. 5 years ago, another young female was kidnapped and held as a sex slave. Her initials were the same as Tawana Brawley. Her name was Tara Burke. She was 2 years old, and for nearly a year, she was raped, sodomized, and abused in every possible way. The media gave full coverage to her case, but there was no mention of race nor racism. Not from the media, not from the police, not from Bill Cosby, and not from the Anti-Defamation League. Well, you see, in this case, the victim was white, and her abductor was a Negro by the name of True Frog Johnson. After not being satisfied with sexual attacks upon a Hispanic boy and a Vietnamese boy who were both prisoners in his van, he drove from San Francisco to the mostly white community of Concord and kidnapped his little girl. It would have been easy for Johnson to kidnap a little black girl here in the city, but instead this pervert decided that snatching a white child from a white suburb would be worth the added difficulty and danger. This crime was a racist attack against the white people. One of many that happen every day in this Jew-controlled nation, but never identified by the news, nor the police, nor the Anti-Defamation League as being anything more than common street crime. If the media and the government and the Jewish masters are going to scream racism every time a non-white is attacked by white criminals, then it's time to eliminate the double standard. It's time to equally judge criminal attacks upon white people by non-whites. White people carry no more cash in their pockets than do black people. And white women don't have anything under their dresses that black women don't also have. So there's no other explanation but racism for the fact that blacks murder whites 15 times more often than whites kill blacks, or that white women are raped by blacks 20 times more often than black women are raped by whites. The racial double standard and the racial attacks against whites must be stopped. stop by any means necessary. For more information, write more. P.O. Box 202, San Francisco, California, 94101.
And that is what is known as a Nazi news line. And we did a bit of research, found the numbers for these various news lines, which are located all over the country. There's probably one in New York. That one was in California. And you can really see the hate in there. Not-so-veiled threat against the Jewish population. They would be the main victims of a race war, they said. And this race war coming as a result of blacks murdering whites more than 15 times more than whites murder blacks. And I'm sure they would like to catch up a little bit more if, in fact, those figures are true. We do have one or two more to call, which we'll call later on. Our number is 632-6901. Tell me what you thought of that. Tell me if you think it's good to put that on the air. Is it good to hear that kind of thing on the radio? How does it make you feel? And how does this this vandalism and destruction of a synagogue, how does that affect you? How does that make you feel? Do you know how other people would react? 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, Senator Goldberger.
Hi, Andrew. I figured you'd be the first one again.
Yep.
You been listening?
Yeah, I've heard that message.
Yeah? Tell me what you thought of it.
Well, I didn't think it was too hot, but see, I don't think any news is too great. Well, yours is pretty good, and the other one that I like is Channel 9 News with Rollins Smith.
Well, now, what we're talking about is the news line that we just called. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, no, I don't think that, because I don't like those things. They just talk about murders with absolutely no care.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because it's a real serious thing, and I think that people should understand, especially newscasters, that when they say, "Well, 200 people were killed today,"
uh-huh,
and they have a smile on their face, it doesn't look too great. It doesn't sound too great.
Yeah. Well, no, I think what we saw in the thing we just called was an attempt to incite people to say, look what's happening. These people are, your own kind is being killed. You should react. You should be violent. And it's the same kind of call to arms that that you always see in wartime.
It's like an ex-Martin Luther King.
What's like an ex-Martin Luther King?
That thing that we just heard, strike back.
Uh-huh.
No, it's...
Well, I'd hate to equate that with Martin Luther King.
No, Martin Luther King, he didn't want to use any violence, so...
Yeah. You mean it's the opposite of Martin Luther King, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's certainly true. Okay, well, thanks very much for calling. I want to go to some of these other calls.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Bye.
Bye. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage. Oh, that's nice. That's so nice. Well, it's a good place to go, you know. Figure I spend so much time here, the odds of it happening in this building would probably be fair to good. Give me a break. 632-6901. Come on, we're talking about important things here, not one man's life. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, Seth, out in scenic Mount Sinai.
Hi, Seth, in scenic Mount Sinai. How you doing?
Okay. Number one, God, that guy who you just got on the air was in really bad taste. And you know, people like that.
Well, never mind people like that.
That sort of does tick me off. But
let's stick to the issue here. The issue is anti-Semitism, racism, that kind of thing.
And that's
kind of
fits home for me because I am Jewish.
Well, let me ask you a question. I'd like to ask this question of everybody who calls. Do you consider yourself to be racist at all?
No.
Not at all. Not a single bit. Not a sliver of racism is in there anywhere.
If it is, I try to beat it out.
Uh huh.
You know, if I ever realize myself doing something that I consider racist, you have to recognize that in yourself. You have to beat it out because it's wrong. I mean, I'm not going to play martyr and say I'm not racist completely because I really don't know in the eyes of other people if I've ever offended them.
Uh-huh.
Well,
do you make generalizations at all? Do you...
I try not to.
Uh-huh. Now, have you always tried not to, or has this been put into your head somehow, and if so, how?
I basically, you know, there's a certain point where when you're, say, in junior high and something like that, where society has put these things into your head, and at that point you do sort of make generalizations. You look and go, oh, he's black, oh, he's Oriental, and then you think certain things as soon as you see them.
Uh-huh.
But as I grew older, you realize that it's not right, and it's not, you know, that's just not how it is.
But why do you realize it's not right? What makes you realize it's not right?
I know blacks, I know Orientals, I know people from all over, and, you know, no one that I've met really conforms to these stereotypes.
Uh-huh. But you have to know people.
Right.
What if you live out your entire life without going outside your own religious or racial makeup? You'll never know these people, so those myths will never be dispelled in your mind.
Yeah.
Now, do you think a large number of people live that kind of existence where they don't go out and see these things?
I'd say something not per se in the Northeast, where where it is somewhat of a metropolitan area, because you do get that mix. But I'd say perhaps maybe out in the Midwest, where it's primarily whites living in one area or primarily blacks living in one area.
Uh-huh.
I think you'd get that sort of thing. I think there's a lot more community in the Midwest, and there's a lot more sticking together of similarities and sticking together of races.
Now, I've heard the same thing. I've heard it said that the Northeast is not the way it is everywhere else, and it certainly is true. There are very few minorities in vast spaces of this country. In fact, I was reading an article in last week's New Yorker about this truck driver, and he was saying he lived in I believe Wyoming or one of those states out there, and he did it specifically because he knows he has a race problem, and he doesn't want to see any black people, and he knows if he goes to that state he won't. Now, this is a good person; he's a nice person, and the people out there are nice people too, but there is that element in them, and that's very disturbing. It comes out at times like this.
I don't understand how something like someplace like California can foster that sort of Nazi attitude, just because I would picture California as also being somewhat of a Northeast type place, as being a metropolitan area where, you know, there are races mixing. I know there's a large Hispanic population in there. I don't know about the Jewish population there.
I would say, you know, to coin a phrase, it takes all sorts to live in a place like that. California has all kinds of diversity like New York does, and I'm sure you'd find these kind of things probably a little bit more clandestine in other parts of the country.
But you can't say that it doesn't exist here, because I'm sure, I mean, Nazi punks had a rise a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure there's still people who follow the Nazi doctrine, or who say they follow the Nazi doctrine. In New York City, there's got to be people there. It scares me though to think that, you know, here we are in America, supposedly where everyone's free and everyone's this and everyone's that, and there are these people there who are sitting there and who are getting airtime. If you notice lately, they're getting more and more airtime.
Who is?
The white supremacists.
Where do you see that?
Morton Downey, for one.
Downey to me.
I don't agree with Morton Downey, and that. But they had a whole week with this going on.
Uh-huh.
And Morton Downey does have a big pull. He does have a big following.
Yeah, I think you got to ask yourself, why is that? Why does he have such a big following? Why do people want to see that kind of garbage?
Because the reason why he has a big following is because he's playing to the rising right, to the rising nationalism.
Uh-huh.
And if you see, his audience is basically these college-age kids who sit there with their American flags and chant, "Mort, Mort, 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 Mort."
You know, it really stinks, because maybe 5 years ago, teenagers would flock to New Jersey to see Uncle Floyd. Now they're flocking to New Jersey to see Morton Downey. I mean, it's a sad comment.
Yeah.
A real sad comment. Well, tell me this, sir. What did you think of what we played on the air about that phone call we made? Do you think that was a bad thing to do, to air something like that, or do you think it's advantageous?
I don't think anything that you air is bad. It's basically, it's either you air it, you know about it, and you air it, and you expose people to it, and you say, this is what's going on, this is what's happening in America, this is what we have to stop, or you decide, well, some people might be offended, so I won't put it on. And I think, you know, I commend you for putting something like that on, because I know there are plenty of, I mean, you think WBLI, WRCN, Walk FM would have ever put on something like that?
Be interesting if they did. Instead, they'll put on, you know, stories about panda bears in the Seattle Zoo or something. You know, the kind of news we want to hear about. But do we really want to hear that stuff, or do we feel we just don't have a choice?
I don't know if we want to hear that stuff. I think it's gotten to a point where we don't hear anything else, that we really don't have anything to compare it against.
Uh-huh.
That's one of the problems that the media is going, that the media has, is that the media plays to, well, you know, we'll take everything that's good and blah, 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 and we'll put it on, and, you know, there's bad things. We'll just make them into numbers. Just become numbers, and we'll just become statistics.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's very dehumanizing.
Tell me this, getting back to the subject here. Did you hear about the occurrence in Brooklyn last night?
Actually, no, I didn't. I just heard about it when I got on.
Uh-huh. I heard about it on the AM radio on one of the news stations, but here on campus you can no longer listen to AM radio. Believe it or not, the new phone system now covers the AM radio, and that's all you hear on it. So we can't even get an update there, and the Associated Press apparently is ignoring the whole story. But what we found out was that the Orthodox Congregation Rabbinical Institute, I'm not even certain that's the entire correct name, located at 1162 East 12th Street in Midwood section of Brooklyn, was set on fire, vandalized, and had all kinds of anti-Semitic remarks and swastikas painted all over it. And I'm wondering what kind of a response should we expect from people? What should we be satisfied with?
I don't.
I mean, this is just as racist as the Howard Beach incident. No one died, but someone could have died easily.
Well, what it is I think one of the things that is really sad about the whole thing is right now, I'm Jewish. I don't necessarily follow the doctrine, but I am Jewish by birth, and, you know, those are my people. And the fact is that right now we're between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and these are the days of atonement. And for the Orthodox people to have something like that to happen to their temple, I really feel bad for those people who do attend that synagogue. And I think that in idealism, in the utopia that we build up in our minds, I wouldn't want to stop until I found those people and had them prosecuted. But in reality, I think all you're going to have is a fund drive to get the temple back together.
Uh-huh.
And that's the sad thing, is that you know, if they're a particularly dedicated temple, perhaps they'll hire people or they'll set people onto this. But I don't think that the local government or the state government or the federal government will do anything about it.
Even if the people who did this are caught, that's only a part of the problem, because the underlying feeling is always among us. And
you have to, to a certain point, you can't stop it. To a certain point, it's in. Uh-huh. It's in human nature, you know, to see things. I mean, it's like, it's almost as the same as nonconformity, which we were talking about last week, is that it's different. It's not me. It's something different. It looks different. If it's black, it's got to be bad. If it's oriental, it's got to be bad. If it's white, it's good. If, you know, and that's
But the same thing can work the other way, too. I've seen the same attitude with black people, where white is bad and
right.
Anything black is good, and that's just as wrong. I mean,
it is.
You know.
And that's the same as I was at camp, and a friend of mine from the city went to camp, and she looked at me and she said, "My God, I can't hang out with anyone at the city. I only hang out with Orientals." And, you know, there's that. It's kind of hard to deal with the fact that there's this, you know, black people looking at others and oriental people looking at others and saying, well, they're not like me. It's the same as we're doing.
Uh-huh.
Although I think in the press, crimes by whites against minorities do get a little bit more attention than, say, minorities against whites.
Uh-huh. I would say the reason for that is simply based on the past, when the whites had a stranglehold on the blacks. and just about everybody else for that matter. It's majority versus minority. When the majority oppresses the minority, I guess it's a bit more newsworthy than the other way around, because the other way around really isn't possible, except in cases like South Africa and Israel to some degree. So that's an interesting point, though.
What I heard you had said something about Israel, you know, tell Israel to stop. What exactly should they stop? Because, I really don't keep up much, and I want to hear about this.
You do want to hear about this, or you don't want to hear about this?
I do want to hear about this.
Oh, okay. I was making reference to the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. It's a situation that is very similar to the apartheid of South Africa. And
although, what can you do? That's
well, the same thing you can do here. When you see something, whether it's anywhere in the world, whether it's local, sort of what we were talking about last week. Speak up. Say something about it.
I know you can't speak up, but what can the government do? I mean,
what can our government do, or what can their government
do? What can their government do? Here are these Palestinians who basically had their land taken away from them by the British government. The Israelis offered to split the land. The Palestinians said, no, it's got to be ours. And the bordering Arab nations, the Palestinians are Arab, and the bordering Arab nations will not take in these Palestinians because they know that it will cause strife in Israel and that it will perpetuate the ongoing conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelis.
Well, from what I understand, and I really don't want to dwell on the Palestinian issue, that's another topic altogether. There is a move, I believe, headed by the Labor Party over there to work out something where the land is split. And I think at this stage in the game, the Israeli government is not listening to any kind of settlement proposal where the land would be split. Now, it's true that the PLO rejected anything having anything to do with the existence of Israel in the past. I think perhaps they may have come down from that a little bit, and there has to be compromise on both sides. But right now, I don't see the Israeli government moving nearly fast enough to settle the situation.
Okay, you don't want to go into this, though. Okay.
Well, this could last a very long time if we do, but
I can retort, but I'm not going to, because it would last a very long time.
Uh-huh.
The way to combat racism is through education, I'd say. You know, ignorance is fear, and fear is hate.
Well, there's two kinds of racism, I'd say. There's the one is much more dangerous than the other. One is simply ignorance, where you have a preconceived notion of how people are, and it doesn't really, you know, affect your life all that much. You just think that these people are strange, they got weird habits, and that's the ignorance. But when you couple it with the hatred, that's when you get instances like what happened last night. And that's a lot more dangerous when you mix the hate in with it.
It's out of my mind to think how these people could actually look up to Hitler and look up to this whole thing. I mean,
well, maybe they're not. Maybe they're just, you know, stupid people that
that
kind of thing is offensive. However, the people we call, though, those are regular Nazi news lines there, and those people, whether they believe it or not, they believe in Hitler and what he stood for.
Do you know if that's a minority or if it's a growing number?
I don't know. If anyone does, I'd like them to call and tell us that.
Because hopefully it's a minority.
Uh-huh.
You know, hopefully it's a small group of people who are making their voice heard and not a large growing group of people.
That would be nice to know. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
632-6901. We have a couple of open lines, and if you do get through, just let the phone ring and we will pick it up. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hi, Eric.
Hi.
This is Stoltzkin.
This is who?
Stoltzkin.
I see, okay.
Oh, yeah. Has Dave Fita contacted you?
You're the person who called with the strange DJ thing from last week, right? No, he hasn't had the guts to call.
He what?
He has not had the guts to call. You're talking about the amateur DJ from Connecticut, right?
He's not an amateur, he's a professional.
Well, he may be paid, but he sounds like an amateur.
Well, I think he handles his calls very well.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, he doesn't even touch the phone. He has somebody pressing the buttons for him.
He does not.
Have you seen him?
Oh, Dave Fita?
Yeah. Have you been in the studio? Have you seen what he really does?
No, because they just had the studios redone.
Uh-huh.
But I've seen the man, but uh-huh. I've never been in the studio.
Uh-huh. Well, I've talked to people that that have seen him, and they assure me that the man cannot do anything for himself, including feeding himself. So I'd rather not spend that much time talking about it.
Okay, fine. Well, so I'll change the subject.
Okay.
Okay, he's not called to that.
Excuse me?
Wait. Okay, forget. About okay. That kid that just called.
Yeah.
Does he know if they feed him?
Oh, boy. We have a problem here, don't we? 632-6901. Please give us a call. We have open lines. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, I'm calling about the guy from Sinai, Mount Sinai, Shemp, that called in.
Yeah.
And he says that there's no stereotypes in any racial mode at all.
You mean in his mind?
Okay, in his mind.
Right, okay, go ahead.
Why don't he go down to the corner over in Amityville, and he'll meet anybody with a gun in their pocket and a knife, and that's as stereotypical of a pimp as you're going to get.
Uh-huh. So what is your point?
A young black troublemaker, let's say.
Well, now, do you have that notion of black people overall based on who you see in the corner?
Not everybody who's black, but everybody in Amityville.
Everybody in Amityville?
Just about, except maybe the mailmen.
Uh-huh.
So they carry something if they're walking the streets in Amityville. You know, the homicide rate in black males, 18 to 30, is three times that of any other race, group of people, religious or whatever.
Now, what do you attribute that to?
They're into everything that's no good for them.
Now, why would someone be into things that are no good for them?
Part of their subculture, because they don't have fathers.
They don't have fathers. Well, then they've discovered something incredible if they don't have fathers.
60% of the blacks on welfare do not have any male people in the house except for the children.
Uh-huh.
I'm just reading statistics now.
Yeah.
Now they say that homicide for the homicide rate for blacks 18 to 30 is way up there in three times, so that's 75% above whites. And the crime rate amongst that group, you're more prone to get robbed 65% more than if you were white. Now how come this is facts? How come Bernard Goetz was wrong on the subway when he saw four of them standing there with screwdrivers? How come he was wrong that he supposed they were going to rob him? Couldn't he have been right 65%?
Couldn't he have been right 65%?
And the odds were for him to be robbed.
Well, then the odds, if you play the odds in every situation...
By a stereotype. But the stereotype tells you that 75% of the black people are going to rob you.
So, in other words, if those four people had been white and they had screwdrivers and they approached him in the same way, he shouldn't have shot and he should have been punished if he did. Excuse me?
Then he would probably be Italian, and I don't know. He was in the Bronx. I don't know where he was.
Uh-huh.
But it's not that everybody hates every black person, just like I'm sure the black people love every white person, but they don't like us either. But the thing is, you know, can't have this pandering to things like Tawana Brawley. It's making a joke of the justice system. That town is now bankrupt because they have to pay $500,000 to a grand jury that's been sitting around while this woman is protesting down in Washington, and there's no evidence. The FBI walked out on the case. When the FBI walks out on the case, that means they haven't found one hair of evidence, because the FBI has the best crime-fighting unit in the world.
Even if this has to do with one person lying or telling a false story and putting everyone to a lot of bother for nothing, how can you condemn the entire black community for that?
I'm not condemning the entire black community.
Well, then why bring it up? What's the point?
The problem is they pick bad leaders like Jesse Jackson, who was endorsed by the Communist Party.
That makes him a bad leader? Being endorsed by somebody? I mean, I'm sure the Nazis endorse people that that get elected.
Doesn't make any sense.
Okay, well, anything else?
Let's see. Freedom in America. Seth said we're the land of the free.
Uh-huh.
All right, freedom in America. If you can't pay for your freedom, and this is a bit, this is a fact that's, you know, disparaging maybe, but you have to pay for your freedom in this country, no? That's all there is to it.
How so?
How so? If you cannot afford a lawyer, you're going to have a crummy lawyer because they're going to appoint you a crummy lawyer. Society today is no different than, like, 1500, the Middle Ages. The rich pay the powers to be. At the time, they paid the king protection.
Uh-huh.
They, in turn, sold that protection to people who could only afford so much protection, and right down the line, everybody sells the same thing. And right now, you put the label on it, it's freedom. But it's sold by the...
Racist at all?
Yeah. There are people I'd rather not live with.
And what kind of people are those?
People that are going to cause me problems because I'll get up in the morning and my car will be gone.
Mm-hmm.
They could be white. They could be Irish. I have some Irish friends that were Steve.
Now, how do you tell with the white people then?
Which ones are the white people?
How do you tell which white people are going to cause problems? I mean, you seem to be able to tell with the black people because they're black, but how do you tell?
No. I'm just saying I try to avoid problems where I can. I won't go to Wyandanch and park my car in a train station. It would be foolish to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Would you? Would you go through Wyandanch in the middle of the night and ask a guy for directions? You got a map, pal?
I don't do that in any neighborhood, usually, if I can avoid it, but I don't know. It's something I haven't thought about, to tell you the truth. But I have been in black neighborhoods and not felt threatened at all, and felt quite at home, in fact.
I worked in South Ozone Park. You can't get any black in that. Me and the hardware store guy were the only white people there. Now, there were people that I got along with. There were people who stole my lunch out of my truck.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not going to shoot everybody who's walking around with a brown paper bag just because my lunch is gone.
Uh-huh.
That would be stupid. But you can't avoid it. I don't go to the Bronx at night. I don't go to Wyandanch at night. I don't go to the campus at night because I might get raped.
Right. Okay. Well, tell me, do you think the same kind of danger exists for blacks when they walk into white neighborhoods?
In the city, I bet you it does. But out here, if we see a black guy, we know we just sell him candy for a basketball team or something.
Uh-huh.
I've had him come to my house. I'm not in an affluent area.
Let me ask you one more question, then we got to go to some more calls. Do you believe in carrying guns?
Nah, I'm not much of a gun person myself.
Uh-huh. Do you think people should carry guns to protect themselves?
No, I think a gun, you never know who has one because it's under your coat. If you really want to keep people on their toes, they should issue everybody swords. Because you see somebody with a sword, are you going to rob them?
Probably... I'd think about it first.
And if you see someone coming at with your sword, you know he's going to rob you. You take yours out.
Right. Okay, well, thanks very much for calling, sir. Sometimes I don't know who to take seriously and who not to take seriously, but that's one person's opinion. But I'd like to hear more opinions here. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Niggers will die. Niggers will die. Niggers will die.
Niggers will die.
Niggers will die.
Someone's got a sampling machine, I see. Oh, that's really amazing. Well, I do know they're on campus. That much I do know. And if you are on campus and you want to give us a call here at the radio station, all you have to do is pick up the phone and dial 26901, and the phone will ring instantly like that. You know, just incredibly fast. Try it now. Go ahead. Pick up the phone, dial 26901, and tell us if you think you're a racist, if you think your friends are racist. Is our society racist? Are we racist here on the air? Are we saying things that don't make any sense? And what should be done? Or should anything be done? What's your reaction, if any? 632-6901, or on campus 26901. Give us a call. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello?
Yes?
Can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine.
Okay. Since the 60s, I've always not been president or nothing like, you know. I was always president against people that was president.
Okay.
And that lives in Long Island.
Okay.
And then I moved to the city.
Okay.
And I grew to, only because they hated me as well.
Uh-huh.
And I grew to
distrust the blacks.
You grew to distrust blacks?
Yes.
I see. What?
Only because it was, you know, them, not me. Because I was always against, you know, prejudicism, and I believed in Cain. I believed in, you know, but it was only from my experience this happened.
So, what? How do you consider yourself now?
Well, I still try to trust, and I still try to believe. But when it comes to going on to the subways and knowing that they hate me, I will distrust them. Because if they hate me as much as, you know, well, the prejudice is all about. They don't trust whites either.
Uh-huh.
It's not even us anymore. It's them against us now. It's like we owe them something. And I've learned this. I've not just threw opinion on it.
Uh-huh.
On it.
I see. Well, it sounds like you've definitely done something.
I've not done anything, but I still try to have some sort of faith. But I can see why people will be prejudiced, because they are... When it comes to having to hustle and bustle into the subways and into life, you can't trust them.
Them? Who's them?
The blacks.
You can't trust blacks on subways, is what you're saying.
No, you just can't trust them. They're always out to try to hustle you or try to...
Well, now, what's this word always that I keep hearing? Why do you think it's always the case?
Well...
Every black person you see in the city comes up and tries to hustle you? That would take an awful lot of time, wouldn't it?
My own life and my own opinion.
Uh-huh.
This is what happened. This is what happened to me. What me who was always, you know, for them and always trying to believe that we are all human beings.
Uh-huh.
But it's not the, you know, we all have the blood and the bones.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks very much for calling.
Sure.
Oh, boy. We're in worse shape than I thought, folks. 632-6901. Help me out here, please. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
White supremacy.
Oh, hilarious. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi. I don't have a sampling machine.
That's good. I'm relieved to hear that.
You want to know what I think of the burning of the Orthodox?
Sure.
Well, I think it's bad. I'm not Jewish, but I think that acts against groups of people like that are very bad.
Uh-huh.
But the only thing is, the phone call that you played, that news, what was that, Nazi news thing that you...
Well, we called the Nazi news line in California. In fact, there's another one we're going to call, too, that says something different. But what's your opinion of that?
Well, I don't agree with what they're saying, and I think it's kind of, you know, offensive and everything, but it is their right to do that.
Uh-huh. What I was asking was, is it right for us on a radio station such as ours to play something like that?
Yeah. I think you should expose people to things like that, because I found it kind of hard to believe listening to it. Like, I don't believe this.
Uh-huh.
People really think this, and, you know, stuff like that. So I guess it's good that you played it, because it exposes people to it, and they realize that there are people out there that think things like that and really believe it and go to that kind of trouble, and that they are organized.
Uh-huh.
Which is really scary. I mean, when groups of weirdos like that get together, that's when you should really be worried.
Yeah, I'm glad you feel that way, because that was the intention when I made that call, because it's important that we hear these things, that we know they really exist. I mean, we can say, hey, there's Nazis in the United States, and everyone just sort of gives you a look, but let's hear one of the Nazis speak. Let's hear what they say to themselves and their groups and everything like that, and then you suddenly start realizing these people are for real now. Should we take them seriously? And if so, what do we do? You know, what do we do?
Well, there's not really a heck of a lot you can do about it, because they are allowed to speak. It
uh-huh.
is their right.
Well, I'm not telling them to stop speaking, but I'm more concerned with when they start taking action, such as when we made that phone call. He made a very direct reference to, I guess, more direct action or something. I forget what the exact phrase is, but
I'd write for more information on how to. I forget what exactly it was, too, but
The group was called War, I believe.
Right.
So that should tell you something right there.
That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to actually do anything.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the burning of the synagogue, I mean, we don't know that was them.
No, we don't. It could very well have been just a bunch of ignorant people that had nothing to do, but they knew what phrases to use. They knew the swastikas, and it was... I mean, they weren't just burning down a shack. They knew what they were burning down, and then you had
to... Well, you know, anybody knows what phrases to use in that kind of case.
Uh-huh.
That's not a difficult thing. You know, if you want to let's offend some people, well, this will offend them. You know, that's not a hard thing to come up with.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I don't think it's necessarily... Nazi group, maybe a white supremacist group, but
uh-huh.
maybe just kids in the neighborhood. It really depends. So I mean, while I don't agree with Nazis or white supremacist groups, if they don't actually do anything, there's nothing you can really do about it. If they don't do anything against other people, there's not really a lot you can do about it.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately.
I don't know why our Associated Press machine didn't cover this story at all. Maybe they've put something over since
we started. Maybe
because
it's a local story.
Well, we're in the vicinity. We get all these local stories about New Jersey and Connecticut and New York City, too. You can't get much more local than Brooklyn around here.
Well, maybe if somebody got killed or hurt, you know, something like that.
Yeah, is that what it takes? I that's the question I'm asking here. Is that what it takes before we start doing something? No one got killed here. I don't know if they would have stopped if there were people in there. They could very well have been. But it's an ominous sign and something I think we should deal with very quickly. I'm not saying
that it wasn't any big deal just because they burnt it down.
Though. Right.
But maybe they just, you know, overlooked it because, well, you know, it was a building on fire and they put it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, if they looked at it in that way, I'm pretty upset because it was a lot more than a building on fire. This was definitely a racial incident, and racial incidents do make headlines, and I don't think the race of the people affected should be taken into consideration. The same kind of headlines should be gotten for gay bashing, for Howard Beach-type incidents, and for burning down synagogues.
Yeah, but we don't know that the Associated Press took that into account. I mean, we don't know that the people at the Associated Press say, "Well, this is about Jewish people," and
no, we don't.
Jewish people, so we're not gonna be bothered, or they're not important.
Right, we don't. But they did not cover the story. At least they haven't sent it over. If they did, and maybe we'll get it over during the next hour. But you know, it's something. It's the top story on the radio stations in the city. It should be there. That's all I'm saying.
They may not have felt that it was worth sending out here. Maybe they felt no one would be interested.
Well, no,
know.
we get the same fee that the city gets, so
right.
It's the same exact thing that we would get. I don't know. We'll see what develops. Maybe it's being typed over even as I speak.
Could be.
All right, thanks so much for calling. Where are you calling from?
Center Reach.
Center Reach. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye. 632-6901. Give us a call. Tell us what you think of racism. Are you racist? Are your friends racist? And what should be done? 632-6901. If you get a ring, stay on the line, and we will pick up. If you get a busy, just keep trying, and we will get to you one way or the other. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah. I also feel that a lot of the problems caused by racism is due to the fact of distortion in the media.
Okay.
Such as not covering certain stories. And also like the Howard Beach trials, they publicized those things and they created their own little snowball of that effect. I mean, I don't deny the fact that racism isn't there and, you know, it is.
Uh-huh.
But I think the news media affects our life.
Well, do you think they maligned the town based on what happened? They said Howard Beach is full of racists. And you're saying that wasn't a fair thing to do.
Yeah, I felt that. I mean, it's all over. And it's not just in Howard Beach. It's the people right next door to you. It's the people listening to this show. It's, you know, everybody has their own prejudices. And they come to prejudgments for whatever reason. And it's basically taught. And I think if the news media makes big hypes over it, they're teaching people.
That's true, and that's one of the things I remember we were talking about a few months ago. You could easily say Center Reach is full of racists just as much as Howard Beach is. Just because something happens in a particular neighborhood does not mean that's the only place the problem exists. There's racism here at Stony Brook. There's racism in our radio station, I'm sure. There's racism everywhere. Some of it is a lot more serious than other kinds of racism. I mean, you'll find racism in the ACLU and the FBI, all kinds of places you wouldn't expect to find it, but it does exist. And I don't think it's that easy to just wipe ourselves clean and say, you know, we're not racist and no one around us is. There's elements of racism. It's not always the kind that makes you want to go out and burn a cross, but it's it can be just as offensive.
Also, too, I think that, as I was saying before about the distortion of the media, I think they should turn it around and show people what you had done in calling that Nazi line, whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
They should show that, you know, that these things are around, and maybe these things are more of a topic of news than just an outbreak of racism, because then that shows people that, you know, that, or, well, he has action, you know, somebody's beating somebody else up because of different color or religion. But I think more focus should be on sources of where this is coming from.
And that is one of the sources. There's plenty of sources. I mean, you can find things in everyday life, in our TV programs, in the way the news is covered, that you could clearly say, well, that's an instance of racism. That's they're making generalizations here, and they're approaching the subject in a certain way that might not be offensive to me, but could be offensive to somebody else in a different kind of way of life. The Nazi lines are, of course, very offensive. But it's all over. It's all over. It's the way we're brought up. It's the things we see every day, and I think that's what we have to start looking for and recognizing.
Yeah, and, you know, I did a study, and I had learned that if you were to take a bunch of kids at a very young age and throw them in the room and told them, gave them a bunch of toys to play with, they would play with each other, not discriminating on the fact that Joe just said he was a Jew and I'm not playing with him and I don't like the way Chin looks because he's got slanty eyes and, you know, so-and-so is black.
The fact of the matter is it's all so irrelevant. No matter what your religion is, no matter what you believe in, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter whether you're a Jew, whether you believe in Christ, whether you're black. It's so irrelevant to our everyday lives. It's something that should be held private in our brains, I guess, and it's more important to some people, but our basic humanness, it doesn't make any difference.
It shouldn't.
And, you know, the ironic thing is people find that kind of statement offensive because, you know, I'm maligning religion here. I'm saying, well, religion isn't important. I just think it causes a lot of unnecessary problems.
Oh, yes, it does. I mean, a lot of wars are right now being waged over religion.
Uh-huh.
I have my own beliefs about how religion causes half the problems we have to begin with.
Uh-huh.
It's
just as stupid as fighting over a soccer match, which is what they do in Europe for fun sometimes. It's the same meaningless thing. You know, who's better than who? It's just religion might be a little bit more glamorous, but it's the same basic mentality saying this. Nationalism, religion, and soccer, I guess. Those are the three. All right, what town are you calling from, sir?
Come on.
Okay, thanks so much for calling.
No problem.
Okay, 632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hi, yes, I happened to catch a little piece of your show.
Uh-huh.
And I think what them people calling and saying is a bunch of crocks, because all black people don't steal, and yes, I am black, and all black people that are on welfare does have husbands, most of the ones that I know anyway.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, some of the things that these people are saying is bullshit.
Well, okay. Please watch your language. You're on the radio here.
I'm sorry.
First of all, are you on campus?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Well, now, you are black, correct?
Yes, I am.
Can you perhaps correct some of the misunderstandings that you see white people having towards black people, some of the most common
ones? You know the thing that I feel? I mean, to me, color is color. I mean, white, black, yellow, green, whatever. Uh-huh. Color is just color. It's the person. It's the individual. There's some blacks that I like. There's some that I don't.
Uh-huh.
There's some whites that I like. There's some whites that I don't.
Uh-huh.
That's the way it is.
Do you think most black people feel that way?
I don't know. To be honest, the people that I hang with, that I know they feel the way that I feel.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, like I said, a color is a color. It's the individual person. that what make the person him himself.
Now, I think a lot of us who aren't black cannot imagine what it is like to have this feeling all the time that you know, you're not to be trusted, or you're out to hoodwink somebody or to hustle them all the time.
Because they are a lot of black people that do those things.
But
how
that
cannot account for every black.
Uh-huh.
That is that individual that is doing that. Or those group of people that are doing that, not just one color. Because to be honest with you, I have a girlfriend that will go into a store and rob you blind, and she's white. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
She will come off, and you never expect it because she's white.
Uh-huh.
They look for the blacks.
Uh-huh. Have you...
Black people get caught because they look for blacks instead of whites.
In your life, have you had to deal with racism to a large degree?
Yes, I have.
And do you think most black people today have that same problem?
I'm not sure. I can't really speak for most of them. I can only speak for myself.
How about your friends?
The ones that I have talked with about it, yeah, I think so. Because the same way that a white person will not come into a black neighborhood
uh-huh.
by themselves, a black person is not going to go into a white neighborhood by themselves. They're not going to do that. They're not crazy.
Now,
yeah, they're going to get, just like with the Howard Beach, white people do the same thing that blacks do. The only difference is that the police officers and everybody else is looking for the blacks because it's to be expected.
Uh-huh.
That's the only reason why more blacks is on record than whites.
Uh-huh.
And I was sitting there and I was really getting pissed off because the things that some people are saying is not true.
Uh-huh.
It's not true.
Okay, well, I'm very glad you called.
And so am I. And you have a nice evening.
You too.
All right.
Now, it's something for all of us white people not to know that feeling. And that's what I was trying to get at there. Not to know the feeling that you're not trusted when you walk down a street or just are seen in a store. To know that you're being mistrusted right there and then. People think you're about to pull a gun or something. And most black people today, and certainly here on Long Island, have experienced some kind of racism. Most minorities, period. But for those of us that, I'll say, are unfortunate enough not to be in a minority, we have no idea what that feels like. We have no idea to know what it feels like to be the victim of something racist. And that's where we can learn. If we know that feeling, then we know how outrageous it is. And why it's important to do something and to speak out and make sure your friends are aware. And you can also start by giving us a call, 632-6901. We have a few open lines. Area code 516-632-6901. If you're on campus, and we'd like to hear from some people on campus, call 26901. You know, the campus does have a reputation for being brain dead sometimes, especially on a Saturday night, but we know that's not true. The program is Brain Damage. And I'm Eric Corley with you until midnight. We're WUSB in Stony Brook. It's 10 minutes after 11 o'clock. Good evening. You are on Brain Damage.
Hey, Eric.
Yo.
This is Sammy.
Sammy, how you doing?
I'm fine. I haven't been calling you because I haven't been able to get a phone.
Uh-huh.
But you know, tonight is very special night because we got racism on the radio.
You didn't call before, did you? Funny, I thought I was talking to you, but I guess I wasn't. It must be my imagination. Go ahead.
No, you got a big man, Nathan.
Yeah, I sure do. Okay, go ahead.
No, what it is about racism is like I've been I'm a black man.
Uh-huh.
And I've been that way all my life. And I've always lived in a black area, a black neighborhood. And all my neighbors is black. Maybe one or two guys, maybe the guy down the road with the vacuum cleaner shop or something, he may be a white guy or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But when a white person come down here, I feel sorry for them because they always get robbed.
They always get robbed.
Just about because they look like a rube coming to town. They're all like, you know, that look about them. They're walking, they're lost. That's why they're here. Because nobody white would come down here. Why would they come down here? There's no reason for them. But, you know, I got friends up in the North Shore, and I went up there, to Northport, and I didn't get robbed up in Northport, and I stuck out like a sore thumb. I looked like a raisin on a beach, I tell you, because I'm not no light colored person, you know.
Uh-huh.
But there's a little bit of truth to that, because You got a lot of people like him. White. A friend of mine lived in White Dance, and he got robbed. He's a black man.
Uh-huh.
He got robbed. They took his money.
Well, now, something that a lot of people seem to be ignoring, these statistics that everyone is pointing to, saying, you know, black people commit more crimes than white people, but who are the victims? I think you'll find that black people are victims much more often than white people are.
Well, they is. My stepfather robbed me once.
Is that so, Sammy?
Well, that's what I said. He took my money.
Uh-huh.
You know, but I was like a little kid. I was living there, and they took my money.
Well, I don't know if you could quite categorize that in the same way, but...
I didn't report him, because my man kicked me in the head.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I have some white friends, not many. Not many.
Well, that's to be expected, I guess.
Oh, well, that's it might be my fault.
Uh-huh. Could be.
I don't got a car. I can't drive around. Now, how many people are you going to hang out with can't drive around? There's black people who won't hang out with me because I can't drive around. I ain't got a car. If you ain't got a car, who wants to hang around with you?
Well,
I'm with a car.
Cars can be
well, that's a major thing
different.
In life, you know, the car. It's like not even a luxury now in Long Island. It is a necessity.
Necessity, yes, it is.
You got to have one.
You certainly do on Long Island.
You got, even if you ain't parked in a parking lot, you're parked on the expressway just waiting to get someplace else. Because
that's true. Sammy, I got to get to some other calls here.
Well, take it easy, man.
All right, I want to thank you for calling.
Good night.
Okay. Sammy is kind of a tradition here on brain damage, and we have many such traditions. Our number is 632-6901. Give us a call. Good evening. You're on brain damage.
Hi, Eric.
Hi. I have a horrible line, but go ahead anyway.
Okay. First, before you said that us whites didn't know how it felt to be picked on by other minorities, and
uh-huh.
there was like, really nothing we could do about it.
Yeah?
That's untrue, because remember that program called the Jeffersons?
The program called the Jeffersons, yes.
Well, you know that if that were white people saying, you know how the Jeffersons called Mr. Willis, they called him honky.
Yeah.
And you know if that was reversed and Mr. Willis was saying that about the Jeffersons, but, you know, a different word.
Uh-huh.
You know that program would never have been on the air, because
Well, first of all, the way it was done was in a much more humorous way. Now, of course, you had Archie Bunker calling black people spades, which I think is a more equivalent to the word honky than the other word, which we don't want to say. And also, you have to take into account the fact that this is something different. It's the minority reacting to being oppressed rather than the age-old tradition of the majority oppressing the minority. So that's not funny. That, you know, racism is just not funny, but... the black people responding and being clever about it. That's why the show was popular.
I never really watched the show because of... But another thing, your station, I believe it's dominated by blacks.
Our station's dominated by blacks?
Yeah.
What makes you say that?
All the programs.
Give me examples.
The one after this, what is it called?
The one after this is called Lobotomy.
Lobotomy?
Yeah.
What is that? Is that another talk show?
It's a semi-talk show, I guess. They play music, and the two brothers come in here, and they talk up a storm and do all kinds of fun things.
Okay.
And then we have a metal show after that, and then it's Christian music, and then oldie show in the morning, and...
if I don't... When I tune in on your station and brain damage is not on, I usually hear this reggae music or...
Well, you might hear reggae, you might hear rap, but that's...
I hear a lot of black-oriented music.
I think more of the white DJs play that kind of thing than the black DJs here, because it happens to be popular and it happens to be different.
You know offhand the general ratio between black and white DJs?
It's probably not as great as you would think. There aren't all that many black people involved. There are some, there's certainly some. There's all kinds of minorities here. We have Korean people and Chinese people and all kinds.
Yeah, I do. I've been on the campus a couple of times and I've seen, you know, a great variety of ethnic groups.
Uh-huh. How do you feel? Do you feel uneasy with that?
It adds to the general atmosphere, all those cultures combined.
Yeah, definitely. That's what makes this place so much fun to hang out in, because there's so many different cultures going on. And there's not that much crime here, you know, that I've seen anyway. There is some, yes, there is some robbery and things like that, but I don't think there's anything major, really major, like what you'd see in a city.
So, what about the donkey?
Huh? I can't hear what he's laughing about, but it must be pretty funny. I'll let him get on with laughing by himself and maybe get a better phone line next time. 632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage. Hello, you have one of those phones that don't work?
Hello. Hi, Eric.
How you doing?
It's Bill.
It's Bill. How you doing, Bill?
Good, you?
Okay.
On this whole... See, let me just turn down my radio, because I don't like this,
Okay.
This,
we're getting
echo
kind of a,
chamber deal.
Kind of a tinny sound there.
Yeah. Which is the volume?
What the smell?
Oh, here it is, here it is, here
unplug
it is. Okay, here we go. Anyway, I wanted to add something to this.
Go ahead.
Did you see, did you read Newsday Thursday?
I might have. You know, let me just say something about that. It's become increasingly difficult to get a copy of Newsday after 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't know why that is, but I think these people at Newsday are underselling at the newsstand so that everyone's forced to subscribe to the thing. And I don't like that at all, because that really bums me out.
You can pick it up in the city, I imagine.
You can pick it up in the city, but it's a Long Island paper, for God's sake.
That's true.
And there's nothing but copies of the Daily News and the Times at every newsstand around here, and you never see Newsday, which is the only thing that's relevant.
Much less the Post.
You do see that, too, sometimes.
Yeah. Anyway, Thursday's Newsday, they had an article, like, on page 6, some odd, about after the incident at NASA Coliseum at the rap concert.
Yeah. Which happened a week ago tonight.
Yeah, the NASA County Police called all these theaters and said that we're opening Tougher Than Leather with Run DMC.
Right.
And told them that they had two choices, either to open the show, Tougher Than Leather, or get armed security guards, three more armed security guards. And I think that was pretty blatantly racist. I'm sure.
Well, now wait a minute.
What
happens if they didn't get the three armed security guards?
I don't know. We don't know that anything would happen. You know, I imagine. I mean, that's if anybody's on campus, they know that's always been the argument against arming public safety. That's going to cause more problems than it would solve.
Uh huh. Yeah. You know, I go to these theaters sometimes. These multi mega theaters that keeps springing up around here, like, I don't want to say like what, but I go in there and there's armed guards. Now, why in the world are there armed guards at Walt Disney films and things, you know?
Yeah, really?
And even at a rap, I don't see what having an armed guard is going to do. If there's a problem, you call the police. Now, are the police saying they're not going to respond because they didn't get armed guards? That's crazy.
I don't know. Either that or they're threatening not to let the picture open. I have no idea what the threat was supposed to mean, and they didn't make it clear in the article.
Uh-huh.
But, I thought it was awful suspicious. I you know, it just seems, you know, terribly overtly racist to demand that if you believe that you're showing a picture that is going to have a large audience of a particular ethnic orientation, and then plan or make demands of a theater according to those beliefs, you know, there's a problem with that, and
yeah,
nobody seems to
definitely
pick up on that.
No, there's definitely, I heard about it, and it struck me as kind of odd. What do you do, though, if there are incidents of violence at a particular kind of show all the time?
Yeah, but we don't know if it happens all the time. We only have this one rap concert at the Nassau County Police Department, if it's at that, or even, maybe even the Suffolk County Police Department, because I think a theater in Holbrook was also approached. I lost my sentence. They're only responding to this one incident at Nassau County Coliseum.
Uh-huh.
And
I don't think...
We see violence, mass violence all over the place of late, and to single out...
Well, it's the same mentality that would condemn rock and roll, you know? Rock and roll causes problems. Now it's rap music causing problems. If there is violence or any kind of criminal mischief, obviously that has to be dealt with, but I don't think a blanket condemnation. It's one step away from blanketly condemning the entire race.
Yeah, well, I think
one
that's...
One step away from that.
Go ahead, Eric.
It's just one step away from that, I think.
Oh, I agree. I don't know if it's one step. We may just be there already in the minds of the people who are making the demands of these theaters. Uh-huh. And it's not clear who's making that demand either, at least to me.
Uh-huh. You know, the scary thing, though, and this is something I've seen on countless occasions, is when the police themselves are racist. And that's, I mean, you cannot deny that very many police officers are racist.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They're quite proud of that fact. And that's so scary because that means that the kind of feelings that that black people feel in a street, it's so much worse when you know that a police officer has those feelings of suspicion towards you because he can literally do anything and get away with it. He's got that license. And it is done. You read about it in the papers now and then, but I don't know. That's very disturbing. But I don't want to stray too much from our main topic tonight, which was the synagogue incident in Brooklyn.
Okay, why don't you continue with that, and I'll talk to you in the next couple of days then.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. 632-6901. We're talking tonight about racism and horrible things like that, whether we ourselves are racist, our friends, our society. And this comes in the wake of the vandalism and burning of a synagogue in Brooklyn last night. It's still a little bit after midnight in the Midwood section, the Orthodox Congregational Rabbinical Institute, or something along those lines. We're going to look on the Associated Press in a few minutes, see if they've bothered to run a story on it. Our number is 632-6901. Give us a call. If you're on campus, just dial 2-6901. And if you're out of the area code, that's 516-632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, how are you?
I just wanted to maybe expand on one point that somebody brought up about any kind of prejudice being educated.
Okay.
The education is there, but I think that it's just an expression of hatred, no matter which direction it is. What it's stemming from is just somebody's deep-seated hatred for anything
uh-huh.
that they have in their own mind that just picks a certain group at any specific time to say, yeah, I hate them, or I hate them, or I hate them.
So you're saying the hatred is just directed towards a certain group, but the hatred is there to start with.
Right. It's not necessarily those particular people that may have been part of the education process, but it's a deeper rooted problem.
Uh-huh. How do you think we can deal with that, then? Is this something that happens at birth? Is it genetic?
I really don't have any theory as to that. I think there's a possibility that there could be some kind of genetic trace.
Uh-huh.
But the way to deal with it, I think that's an individual thing. If people recognize racial prejudice or any kind of prejudice as a problem that needs solving, then I think they should look at possibly any hatreds that they have in their mind. And maybe if everybody does that, then there'll be a lot less hatred and these things will disappear.
Or at least be controllable. We still have our animal instincts. If we channel them towards more acceptable things instead of war, maybe a football game or something, we'll all be a lot more, we'll live more pleasant lives, I guess is what I'm trying to say. We have to recognize these things. And yes, taking a good look at ourselves, that's the best way to do it. Thanks for calling. Where are you calling from, sir?
Bohemia.
Okay, thanks so much for calling.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Oh, hi there. It's Big Jim Doomsayer.
How you doing?
I haven't called in, what, 2 weeks?
It's been a while, yeah.
This is depressing, I guess, huh?
Well, what, you not calling or what we're talking about tonight?
Calling. Well, I've been busy, you know.
That's not depressing.
You know, well, I got a new car a couple of weeks ago.
Well, that's just fine.
Fiddling around with that. But first of all, somebody's got to straighten that girl out on the black thing about this station, huh? If this station does anything too much, it plays too much new wave.
I'm not sure if there was a girl, but go ahead anyway.
New, too much new wave, and what's the other stuff they play too much, that hacky, I can't think of the name of it, new wave, and that other stuff that's a lot like it, but you can't tell the difference.
New wave, punk, rap?
Punk, that's it.
Okay, well, everyone's got different words for it. Everyone, you know, says we play too much of one thing, we play too much classical, we talk too much, we play too much country music. We don't play any country music, actually, I don't think. That's what you get at a station like this, where we just do everything, or try to do
everything. You know, well, I was going to say, the Downey Show. It happened to come up. I wanted to see what your thought on this is. Whenever I turn that program on,
uh-huh.
I get scared. I really get scared when I see that show because I can see that people haven't changed much since the Middle Ages or even before that. Because you know what that show reminds me of? It reminds me of the witch burning.
Uh-huh.
Because he manipulates his audience and they'll agree with almost anything that he says. Like if he says,
yeah, he's God to them and he draws on the animal instinct of yelling and screaming and just putting down. And yeah, they're a few steps away from witch burning, but
Definitely. They're
on the road. I'll say that.
You put that, you take away all of laws and stuff, and you take that audience and Mark Downey and anything would happen. Uh-huh. I mean, those people are totally they're crazed.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't want to generalize too much, but they do seem to want people to be crazed on that show. What disturbs me more than that is the fact that the show's popular. You know, why is it so popular?
That's a good question.
Well,
people are stupid. People don't think. That's the problem with the world today. Even in the university.
You know, that's an easy way to get out of it, to say they're stupid. But are they really stupid? Maybe they're smart. Maybe they just think differently. Like people would say, the Ayatollah Khomeini is crazy. He's insane. The man is not insane. He knows what he's doing. He just thinks completely differently from the way we do.
Well, when I say stupid, I mean you could have people. There's plenty of stupid people around. You know that. It's just that people don't think about what they're doing. They don't think past the moment a lot of times.
Uh-huh.
They're not thinking about what they're doing. You know, like those people are yelling and screaming with Maud, but are any of them stopping to think about what they're yelling and screaming about? Or, hey, wait a minute, you know, maybe he might be wrong, but I better not say that because then the audience will trample on me. So I'll just go along with what, you know.
Yeah, it's fun, I guess, is the way a lot of people would describe it, but it's the kind of fun I could do without.
And one more point that goes way off.
Okay.
We're talking about.
Okay.
I always wanted to know what it would be like to be like everybody else on Long Island. I don't mean everybody, but what would it be like to wake up in the morning, get in your car, turn on the radio, and tune into WBLI or BAB? I wonder what would it be like? What is it like to live in that kind of world? Am I missing out on something?
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we start a little experiment? Why don't you do that for a week?
I can't. I can't
back.
Do it
no.
for 5 minutes
well,
because it's so sickening.
You can do it. You can do this. But
Eric,
the question is, can you come back after you do it?
Eric.
That's the question.
You could never do it.
Well, try it. Just try for a few minutes then and just pretend.
But
and then
but
hit yourself on the head and say, hey, that was a fantasy. This is reality. And you'll feel so much better. You know?
But were you ever there? Were you ever there? Were you ever in that kind of world? Where
you
wake up in the morning and everything is for you, if you know what I mean.
When I've been in other people's cars, yeah, I guess it does happen sometimes.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, this is a top 10, and this is for me.
What you're saying is our version, or at least my version of reality, is completely unlike anyone else's version of reality, and we really have no way of knowing what the other person is feeling.
Hmm.
We have to sort of try to establish some kind of common ground so that we can all survive and not kill each other.
But am I missing out on something? Because I seem that it seems like I don't fit in. Like I called you from that party that time. I couldn't find anything to talk about with anybody.
Uh-huh.
It was like I like to use the term BAB mentality.
Well, that's what you're missing out on then, the ability to not talk about anything and to hear commercials all the time.
Yeah, well, even the music is commercial.
But I don't want to rank on them too much.
Well, I'm not ranking on it.
Although they do deserve
it. I just wonder if I'm missing out on something. Maybe somebody from tonight, it's getting late, but could call up and tell me, am I missing out? Am I missing out on life? Is that what life is? Everybody seems to be having a great time tuning in and putting their bumper stickers
Let me just tell you one thing. Nobody's having a great time. We're all surviving one way or the other, but no one's having a great time.
Well, they got their bumper stickers on, and it says...
That doesn't do it for everyone.
W. Bruce, and I'm like, wow, that must be the thing that I have to do, you know? That's what you got to put on your car to fit in. and just in case... You ever see me on campus? You'll see that I have a distinct bumper sticker that nobody has.
Uh-huh.
I have taken a BAB bumper sticker, and I cut it and made it into, by using more than one sticker and a black magic marker, I turned it into a WPKN.
Oh, that's very nice.
Same logo. It's the same style, but it's You can do the same thing. You can make it USB, but that's just something that I thought I'd tell the audience that they could do when they're bored.
You can be creative.
With a BAB bumper sticker.
And do it to other people's, too. No, don't do that. I'm only kidding there. Don't touch other people's bumper stickers.
And it has that on there.
And don't put USB bumper stickers on things that they don't belong on.
Hmm. But that could be next week's program.
Okay.
What am I missing out on?
All right. Thanks so much for calling.
Yeah, good night, Eric.
See ya. We're going to take a very quick break, and then we're going to come back and call the Nazis again and take some more phone calls here on Brain Damage. Everything that the Associated Press has sent over in the last, what is it, hour and 30 minutes since we began the program. And it doesn't surprise me that the first thing they put over was another sports item. More sports, more sports. What we're looking for is a story about the synagogue being torched and vandalized and anti-Semitic things scrawled all over it in Brooklyn last night, which is a top story on many radio stations. But here we have more college football scores. Three college football scores, baseball score. Okay, the weather. What's the weather like? Sunday, considerable cloudiness in the morning, partly sunny and mild in the afternoon. High 75 to 80. Sunday night, mostly clear, low 55 to 60. Monday, partly sunny and mild. High 75 to 80. More sports scores, college football score. Here's some more lottery numbers. New Hampshire lottery numbers. Can you believe this? Albany, more lottery numbers. Baseball scores, football scores, golf. More football. Women's air rifle. Oh, this is from the Olympics. Okay. Looks like Irina Shilova from the Soviet Union won a gold. Sylvia Sperber from West Germany won a silver. And Anna Molokhina from the Soviet Union won a bronze. Yeah, okay, great. More college football. Okay, here's something on the shootings in Haiti. A government spokesman in Haiti says the Caribbean country's military leader, Lieutenant General Henri Namfi, has been ousted in a military coup and escorted under guard to the international airport in Port-au-Prince. Apparently they want him to go someplace, and they'll be giving him his orders momentarily, I guess. Another coup in Haiti. Lightning strikes twice. More college football. More college football. The weather in Central Park. We all care about that. National League. Women's air rifle again. Repeating for all needing. They'll repeat the women's air rifle, but they won't even cover a story on synagogues being burned in Brooklyn. College football. More college football. Still more. More in the Haiti shootings. Let's see what's going on there. Haiti's government reported Namfi's ouster several hours after shooting broke out at the main plaza in front of the presidential palace. As witnesses told it, the gunshots sent dozens of people fleeing for cover in what appeared to be fighting between army factions. A source says army officers had been meeting at the palace, considering creating a junta to replace Namfi. Namfi took over after President Jean-Claude Duvalier fled to exile in France in February of 1986, and Namfi returned to power in a coup last June. It's only a few months ago. More sports. Here's a story on baseball. More scores. Football. Here's all the scores. Here's the rankings of all the college football teams. This is a news wire, not a sports wire. A story on the Tigers-Orioles game. None of those teams are even local to us. More baseball scores. More football halftime scores. Here's a story about football. College football scores. Story about Rikers Island. That's about the only local thing I've seen so far. College football, American League. Here's the weather all over the country. Atlanta, it's partly cloudy and 78 degrees. Thunderstorms in Kansas City. Lotto. More lotto. That's it. That's it. That's our news service for you there. Okay. Well, we're going to give a call to the Nazi news line, the other Nazi news line, see what they have to say, and then we'll be taking your calls again, 632-6901.
Wake up, white man. While you were sleeping, you became the minority in the state of California. That makes all you skinheads happy out there, doesn't it? Why don't all you people, black and white, and no matter what color you are, listen to what we say? We are the minority. The whites are the minority. Why do you hate us? Because we speak the truth. You call us liars when we speak the truth. And if you want to watch some white television, which spews the truth, watch Race and Reason on Channel 57, West Valley, Cablevision, Friday night, this Friday night and next Friday night from 11:30 to 12:30. These two shows will feature an angry Korean War veteran, looks like we'll be in his services pretty soon, and Mr. Clark Kent. Not a Superman fan. So, the whites are the minority. That means we're in some deep trouble. People running around saying we're the majority, but we're not. We're the minority, man. And this calls for drastic measures, like separation, or as Zoggies like to call it, seditious conspiracy. Well, they're a bunch of fags and a bunch of liars and a bunch of hypocrites. War has the solution.
P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92028. White power!
Someone can enlighten us as to what this music is, I'd appreciate it. And give us a call with your opinions on this and on anything else having to do with the subject at 632-6901. That group was the same, I believe, that put out the other message that we called earlier, that called War. And I guess we can leave a message here if we want to, but we don't want to, so we'll just let the machine hang up. War, I don't know what War stands for, but they're based in California, and that's the story there. 632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I think WAR stands for Whites Against Racism.
Whites Against Racism?
I think that's what, you know, they believe their organization is against.
Uh-huh.
Against racism, against white people.
Not against white people, obviously, but they're very pro-white.
Well, you know, from the sound of the guy, though, he sounded like he was just some punk, really, don't you think?
I've just been told by somebody in our studio, I'll ask later how they're so well-versed in this. It stands for White Aryan Resistance.
It's almost the same thing.
Well, it's a pretty scary phrase, if you ask me, White Aryan Resistance. I mean, I just hate that word, Aryan.
They're really just some skinhead punks, though, you know?
That's, yeah, I agree with you there. That did sound like a bunch of skinheads, but what are skinheads? What does it mean?
You know
what does that music mean? Is that music meant to convey that kind of message?
Had them over in England, you know? I lived in Ireland a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was popular over there. They used to bash on the Pakistanis and, you know, the Jamaicans over there, the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
But, you know. I'd like to talk about my experience with racism.
Go ahead.
See, I'm Irish.
Uh-huh.
You know, I lived over in Ireland for a while. My father's Irish. You know, he's an immigrant.
Uh-huh.
And every time I go out, everybody thinks I want a drink. Because this is true. I mean it. Everybody says, what kind of Irishman are you? Italians tell me this.
Uh-huh.
You know, people who don't know a shamrock from the Golden Arches tell me this. They say, oh, what kind of Irishman are you? Just because I don't drink.
I can certainly see that, and I have seen that in the past myself.
No, I mean, I don't drink. You know, I have a drink here and there, but, you know, I really don't like to get drunk.
But have you ever had somebody chase after you and want to kill you because you're Irish?
No. I've had to deal with racial jokes.
Uh-huh.
You know? But uttered in a good spirit, you know.
Can you see how...
You know,
I mean, that's annoying.
Because... It, you know, it doesn't really bother me because, you know, my friends say this, you know.
Yeah, it's I imagine it's mostly good-natured type of jokes, right?
Yeah, but not every Irishman drinks.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, they say there was an Irishman, he fell down the stairs, and he didn't spill a drop of whiskey. You know why?
Why?
He kept his mouth shut.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this is what I put up with all day. You know? I'm an American. I'm not, you know, I'm a son of an Irish parent, but, you know.
Well, you know, I don't know if it's fair to say that's racist, but every...
not racist. It's ethnic, you know.
Okay, every ethnic generalization that we make is based on some kind of a fact, whether how far removed it is from that fact is, I don't know, you know, it's up to us to judge. But, I mean, look around. You will see Irish pubs. You won't see, at least I've never seen an Italian pub. So, it's based on something. But to generalize and to say that everybody is into the same thing and all the people are like this, that's not fair.
Yeah, that's true, you know. But, you know, people get drunk, you know, other ethnic groups, you know.
But have you ever been denied entry to a place because you were Irish? You know, it's what you have there is...
I can say
that it worked, that I drove a cab. I can say that, you know, I drove a cab for a while, and the owner's brother, who was the dispatcher there, was an Italian from the city, and he didn't like me and a few of my friends because we were Irish.
Really?
And that is true. I had to put up with him. It's, you know, he was from the old neighborhood, I guess, back there. You know, they fought with the Irish or whatever.
Uh-huh.
He did. He gave us a hard time. He'd give my calls to somebody else, you know. It should have been mine.
Uh-huh.
Just because, you know.
Well, do you think that was the reason? I mean, very well could have been.
There was a few of us there, you know. There's a Clancy and McCreesh.
Uh-huh.
And all three of us. He told us so. You know.
Uh-huh. Well, what you have there is a definite element of racism.
It's not really racist, but the guy, you know, he did take a disliking to us because we were all Irish.
But that person has what it takes to be a full-fledged racist, because that is exactly the kind of attitude.
Yeah, he pretty much was. He didn't like anybody else either, but,
uh-huh.
you know,
well,
happens.
I would say you got to experience that in one of the more pleasant ways.
Yeah, I'm not saying that I'm a victim or anything, but, you know, it does happen.
But you know what it feels like, and you haven't carried the scars, which is...
Somewhat, you know, they can't say I got any scars, but,
right.
You know, it can be a nuisance.
Uh-huh. Did you see the article on Newsday, I believe it was yesterday, about this gay bar in Roslyn, where the patrons, they had their license plates traced by neighbors. They wrote to the motor vehicle department, found out the addresses of the people that were going to the bar, and then sent them threatening letters telling them not to go to their neighborhood anymore.
When I used to drive a cab, I used to have to go to gay bars to pick people up.
Uh-huh.
And even one of the women cab drivers, you know, she was a lesbian, you know.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, a nice-looking girl would go through the shopping center, the train station, you know, we'd be waiting for calls. And we'd both be looking at the same girl, and she'd nudge my shoulder and say, oh, pretty good. I'm like, what? I swear to God.
Uh-huh.
Now, she was all right.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, maybe those people do have a point, you know, with this. I know, I don't think people should be able to trace your name through the license plate.
Well, that's a public service the motor vehicle department provides for a fee.
Don't seem right, but, you know, maybe those people do have some kind of case, you know, because I read the same article. It said they were seeing, you know, sexual activity there.
Well, I mean, they were.
Yeah,
they said things
that
were going on inside the cars. Now, I don't know, you know, how much imagination they put into that, or if they were walking into the cars and looking in themselves. Either way, though, I don't think it's really that major a deal.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's probably, you know, and it's a bar, too. People get drunk in a bar.
Right.
And, you know, gay drunks probably act the same way any other drunk would, you know, throwing bottles, and that would just, you know, make it worse, you know.
Yeah.
Rowdy behavior there now, and then, you know.
You'll find human beings tend to react the same way no matter what.
But I think, you know, people who don't like gays, you know, that's like everybody, you know. White people don't like blacks, black people don't like whites, but, like, anybody who's not gay doesn't like gays.
Well, that's the feeling that you get walking around the streets, yeah. I would have to say that's...
I don't think you should burn crosses on their lawn, but, I can't say I'd want my kids to be exposed to that all the time. I'm not saying that these people shouldn't have a place to go, but, you know, see two men, you know, making out in a car, it's going to confuse your kid, you know. He's going to say, oh, Dad, you know, what are these two guys doing here?
Well, what would you say to him? Would you say, you know, that's just...
I don't know. I've never seen that before. I don't know what I'd tell my kids.
But you know what they're doing, and you...
Really, I've never had to. I don't know what I would say.
It's a fact of life. It's not something that started in the 1980s. It's been going on, you know, ever since the beginning of whatever this all is.
Something. I don't know what I'd tell my kid, you know. You know, when he gets older, I, you know, tell him, but... I don't know what I'd tell him, really.
I think, you know, if you have a kid, like, let's say you know, I don't want to insult you or anything, but let's say your kid turned out to be gay... If he was able to come up to you and say this, I think you will have won something right there and then, because you have a kid that can confide in you and be honest with you. And that's what people should be looking at more than what it means and what it portends
for
the future and that kind of thing.
I guess they're like everybody else, you know. You know, they're people too, but...
Exactly.
I can't say I would want to live next to a gay bar myself.
Well, I don't think I'd want to live next to any kind of a bar. That's another topic entirely.
No, gay bar, I don't know. You know, I walked in one time, and I was in the cab. I picked up this guy one time. He was a big guy, about 6'4".
Uh-huh.
And he had a pink sheriff's outfit on with pink sunglasses. He had pink cowboy boots.
Uh-huh.
Strange guy, big tipper, but I took one look at this guy. He, you know,
I was dumbfounded for a minute that somebody would wear this outfit, you know. This was the first time I went in here. This is a popular place. You know, I used to get a lot of calls out of there.
What good is being human if you can't mix it up a little bit and have wild people who do strange things?
He was an alright guy. He was a big tipper and all.
Uh-huh.
You know, but it was really, I mean, you know, if you're going to dress like that, you know, he wasn't going around in public, but, you know, some people will take offense, you know, because it's too
Too much for them to bear, huh?
Too bizarre, you know?
Yeah, well, tell you the truth, I think we could all benefit from a little bit more bizarreness around our lives. Things get too ordinary sometimes. You know?
Not everybody's so open-minded, you know.
Yeah.
I think too, you know. I don't care, but you know, not everybody's like that, you know.
That's true, and that's part of being open-minded. You got to deal with that aspect of it too.
Yeah, and you know, people who are, I think people that are in a bad spot like that to begin with, you know, shouldn't really call more attention onto themselves, you know, because that's just, I don't know, it's just going to, you know, anger people against them.
Sometimes that's necessary. I mean, the blacks had to do it in the 60s. People have to say, hey, we're not going to take this anymore. We're going to exist. We're going to be open. And that's the way it is. That's the way it is for everyone else. As long as there's no harm done to other groups, there is
so they don't bother anybody, yeah, but, you know.
And as a rule, I don't think they do. You know, I don't see any headlines saying that gay people are bothering straight people. I don't think that's true.
Well, yeah, you know, I read a few, I read the paper all the time. About 10 months ago, some guy was gang raped by 6 guys in Floral Park.
That's
been the crime. It was about not maybe 9 months ago. That's not typical.
I don't think that's typical at all. And you know, those people,
those
people might not even have been what you call gay. You know, they might just have been violent.
Yeah, some punks. Yeah,
right.
Know. Yeah, that's usually, you know.
But I mean, it is a fact that last month in New York City, people were stabbed, and I believe all they were doing was holding hands. But they got stabbed and attacked by a mob and put in the hospital.
Yeah, you know, well.
And that's just as bad as Howard Beach, as far as I'm concerned. But that was quickly forgotten. I mean, it did make some headlines, but I haven't heard anything about it since.
Well, you know, once again, that was probably just some punks, you know.
Well, you know, one thing I did hear about that, which is kind of funny.
You know, it's like the guy was saying about the movies before, right, how that was racist. They're going to shut down this movie Tougher Than Leather.
Right.
Now, I can remember a few years ago, you probably remember too, they had a movie called The Warriors.
Yeah.
About street gangs.
Yeah.
And they, you know, a lot of movie theaters rejected that. You know, because of the, you know, kids would get, punks were getting out of hand at this movie.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't, you know, racist or anything, you know. It's just, you know, it's a movie about gangs.
Well, it's subject matter, you know. If you ban something based on subject matter, that's the same type of feeling that makes you ban something because of the race.
Right, and it was true. A lot of movie theaters had problems with, you know, the kids at this movie. And then even a few years ago, they had Escape from New York, the same thing. Something about that movie just got the kids riled up.
We have to go to some more calls. What I was going to say before, though, the humorous aspect of that gay bashing incident, from what I heard in the news media, the mob that attacked them was racially mixed. So that's something to think about. Once you conquer one form of racism, you go right into another.
Like I said, that cuts across all barriers.
Uh-huh.
Except, you know, whether you're gay or not.
Uh-huh. Sometimes even then, but that's something else. Thanks so much for calling.
Okay.
632-6901. We have time for a few more calls. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, Eric. It's Ron Phillips.
Hi, Ron Phillips. How you doing? You're a noted USB personality.
Well, I was calling to tell you, though, that song that that guy was playing.
Oh, yeah. You would know this. What is it?
That's Black Flag.
Is it Black Flag? Now, is Black Flag a white supremacist group, do you think?
No, absolutely not. That's the real sad part about the whole thing. That was on their very first EP, and the guy who sang that was, you know, not that it should really matter, but when you're dealing with simple minds, you have to put these kind of facts right in front of them. And that was sung by a Puerto Rican guy, and the whole point was it was a sarcastic remark. That's, you know, if you really listen to what they're saying, if you can understand the words,
uh-huh.
You know, it's just a sarcastic parody of this constant bickering about who's the minority and who's the majority. And, you know, to take it as a white supremacist statement is just totally, I didn't want to call and say it's Black Flag because now everybody, you know, people who aren't really listening are going to think Black Flag is a, you know, a pro-Nazi type group. And
no, I'm glad you did, because I wanted to hear something like that that said, well, they didn't, you know, this group singing this song didn't really mean it to be taken that way, and it was taken out of context.
Right. It, I mean, Black Flag has been a band that's always been, they've been on the cutting edge. They're very irritating, but by no means have they ever taken a political stance in that area.
Uh-huh. Well, that's heartening to hear. Thanks for enlightening us.
Mm-hmm.
I said, thanks for enlightening us.
I said, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's it. Thanks for being on the air.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Ron Phillips there, here on Brain Damage, and let's take some more calls, 632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
It's Seth again.
That's who?
Seth,
how you doing? Make it quick, we got a couple more calls here.
I just wanted to point out that I think something that people haven't pointed out is the fact that it doesn't matter whether you're Black or Oriental or Jewish or white, I think it's more where you grow up, the people you grow up around, more than your skin color, which decides how you're going to act.
It's your environment, in other words.
Yes, I think the environment molds the individual. And the thing that, you know, maybe more Blacks are, it's attributed to the fact that a lot of people live with other people of their ethnic groups, and certain ethnic groups, I think, are slated by the government, like in Yonkers.
Uh-huh.
And, I just wanted to point out that really it isn't the skin color, it's the environment and who you grew up with and who you grew up around.
Okay, thanks for pointing that out.
Sure.
Yes, society has a lot to do with it, but if we're smart enough, we can get out of whatever society dictates we must do. 632-6901, good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
I called back just one more time.
Okay, make it quick.
All right, the guy that called, he said, I wouldn't want my kids to see the gays in the car and stuff. And what to say. I'm a heterosexual. I'm not a homosexual. But I say live and let live, and why not just tell the kid like it is? Why sweep it under the carpet? They just happen to be attracted to each other, and there's nothing that you can do about it. I've hitched up and down the East Coast when I was in the Navy. I met a lot of gays. I told them I wasn't gay. Some of them were aggressive, and that turned me off, but still, I still say live and let live, because, you know, that's just the way they are, and tell it like it is, you know.
Even being aggressive may sound like a horrible thing, but keep in mind that most females have to deal with that all the time.
Yeah, well, so I also had two aggressive females, believe it or not. Believe it
times
or
are
not.
Changing, yes, that's for sure.
But there's nothing you can do about it. Why hide it under the carpet all the time? Tell the kids the way it is.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. We got to go to one last call.
Okay,
thanks
goodbye,
for calling.
Eric. Thanks for
okay.
the time.
You're on Brain Damage. Good evening.
Hello.
Hello, this is the last call. Go ahead.
I am calling from Harvard.
Okay.
I am calling about the racist things that have been said on the radio.
Okay, we have a few seconds. Say what you have to say.
Well, racism, I am neither a Black man or a white man.
You're neither.
No. I am in the middle.
You're...
I am like a bottle of beer. I am brown.
You are a man, though.
Oh, I am man. What, are you crazy?
I don't know.
No. I was going to say that if you talk about racism, you come to where I live, where my old country was. Benedict. People killed each other because they lived on the other side of the street.
Because they lived on the other side of the street, eh?
It had nothing to do with racism.
Well, I think you could say those people have figured the whole thing out.
No.
It doesn't make any sense. We might just as well be killing people because they live on the other side of the street.
Well, they lived over there.
It makes just as much sense as killing someone because of their color or their any other
origin. But the practice that in Bangladesh, which is a very backward country, very problems.
Well, they have lots of problems. I don't know if the word backward really is appropriate, but... The
country was as bad as my country was. People would kill each other because of their zip code.
I believe there was an instance. No, okay. Yeah, you're right. That's not happening around here.
That's crazy. But that is a possible thing. And that is why that if you cannot contain it, you're going to have to deal with it.
Uh-huh.
Because it's going to happen. There's people that are crazy.
There's people that are crazy, and we do have to deal with it.
Crazy. And there's no helping them. They are evil.
Well, I don't know if we want to go that far. Everyone can be dealt with in some way, and...
We would deal with it with an M16.
Let's just encourage people to think. I think that's a good first step.
Is your show over tonight? Because I have just turned it.
Excuse me?
Is your show over soon?
The show is over now, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to say goodbye.
I would like to say this is the best show I've ever heard.
Well, I'd like to say that, too. I don't know if it's true, but thanks for...
matter has mattered.
Uh-huh. Thanks for calling. Oh, yes, we get such a wide, wide range of people here. And think about it. If everyone who called was the same and had the same feelings, how boring it would all be. We can apply that to the rest of our lives. And we might get something out of it. Anyway, we'll be back next week talking about, I don't know, something ideological like we always do. Or maybe just something silly like we sometimes do. The program's Brain Damage comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 12. Stay tuned now for the brothers. Both brothers are here, is that right?
Amazing.
Both brothers are here. Usually it's one brother or the other, but tonight it's both brothers. And boy, I can hardly wait. Lobotomy starts, it should be starting right now, actually. So let me get out of here, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Someone in my head, but it's not me.
With the concert billboard for Sunday, September 18th. Anthony Braxton will be appearing tonight at the Knitting Factory. Donovan and Roger McGuinn will be at Music Cruise. Rod Stewart will be at Jones Beach. Steve Forbert and Cindy Lee Berryhill will be at the Bottom Line. And Zubin Mehta will be at the Town Hall. That all happening tonight. Tomorrow on Monday, Steve Forbert and Cindy Lee Berryhill will be at the Bottom Line. On Tuesday, Marty Wilson Piper will be at the Knitting Factory. And Robin Hitchcock and the Egyptians will be at the Ritz. On Wednesday, Def Leppard will be appearing at the Meadowlands the 21st through the 23rd. Miriam Makeba and Hugh Masekela will be at Carnegie Hall, that happening this Wednesday. On Thursday, Gad Gang and Eddie Gomez will be at the Bottom Line. And on Friday, Chastian, Heaven, Empire, and Seductive Luck will be at Sundance. Meatloaf will be at the Ritz. Michael Brecker will be appearing at the Intermedia Arts Center in Huntington. And Steve Smith's Vital Information will be at the Bottom Line. On the 24th, the Saturday, Branford Marsalis and Osamu will be at the Bottom Line. Henry Threadgrill will be appearing at the Intermedia Arts Center. Robin Trower, Steve Cochrane, Legacy of Lies, and Cannon will be at Sundance. And appearing at Stony Brook this Saturday, Jamil Munda Quartet. And you can catch them this 24th at the Union Auditorium. Some upcoming shows this September on the 26th. J.J. Cow will be at the Bottom Line the 26th and the 27th. Rod Stewart will be at Madison Square Garden the 26th and the 27th. And on the 27th and 28th, Dr. John will be at the Lone Star. This 28th and 29th, Max Roach will be at SOB's in Manhattan. And on the 29th and 30th, the Feelies will be at Maxwell's, Empire at Showcase, and Michael Brecker will be at the Bottom Line the 29th through October 1st. And on September 30th, the Crumbsuckers, Dead On, Deadly Blessings, and Nemesis will be at Sundance. Also on September 30th, coming to Stony Brook, Urban Blight will be appearing at the Union Auditorium. Also on October 1st, the Godfathers will be at the Ritz, Graham Parker at Bay Street, Jack Bruce with Jerry Harrison and Anton Figg at Sundance, and Philip Glass at the Intermedia Arts Center. This has been the Concert Billboard for WUSB in Stony Brook. The billboard can be heard weekdays 3 and 9 a.m., 4:30 and 10 p.m., and on weekends at noon and midnight. If you missed anything, you can call the station here at area code 516-632-6901.
Public Image Limited, and you are listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
show. Hello, this painted pepper sunrise.